able to talk, but let me say this tonight. The church, the body of Christ, before we get going, it's in so much confusion and turmoil because most Christians, they do not study the Word of God rightly divided. Let me say that again, my brothers and sisters, and that is the church. The church, the body of Christ, it is in so much confusion and turmoil because Christians do not study God's word, God's way, rightly divided. 2 Timothy 2:15, and many lack a personal relationship with God. I'm grieved in my spirit how so many do not study and just take man's word instead of studying for themselves. I want to encourage those who claim Christ as their Lord and Savior to study his word for themselves. It is much easier to merely take the advice of a Christian leaders, pastors, and preachers. It's much easier to depend on ministers to fulfill our spiritual needs. It's much easier to rely solely on the counsel of pastors when navigating this thing called life. After all, why would you make an effort to study the Bible for yourself when other people tell you what it says? The biggest mistake many Christians make once they have seen the truth in God's word, right, divided, they run to their pastors and preachers and ask them, do you know that they are going to go against what the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes up to? Because in many cases, knowing the truth and standing on it will affect their bottom line. In other words, their money. If you tell them the truth of what God is really doing today, it's going to affect their bottom line. So you think, you know, the first thing they're going to tell you is, don't listen to that stuff that they're talking about. Instead of you going to study for yourself, people aren't perfect. Pastors misinterpret God's word all sometimes, and then for many, it's every time they get up and preach God's word, because many are in the wrong program. Even the wisest ministers can easily fall into deception. As a result, preachers may lead their hearers astray, and many have, and continue to, because the majority, this is where I'm grieving at tonight, the majority of saints they are teaching and preaching do not study the word of God for themselves, and definitely not rightly dividing it. A good pastor will always encourage his or her listeners to study the word for themselves. My brothers and sisters, you should challenge any biblical lesson or message by reading the Bible for yourself. It is not that you want to prove someone wrong. Instead, you want to ensure they are teaching what they are teaching lines up with God's word rightly divided. Be a Berean, Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And look at what they did. Even after Paul came in, they went and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They wanted to know for themselves, my brothers and sisters. God, go and search the scriptures right divided for yourself. For the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Many Christians are content to live by the words of ministers. As a result, most Christians only read the Bible during a Sunday morning sermon. I remember when I first started reading the Bible for myself, it was so difficult for me to read God's word that I had to force myself. I had to rely on men for my spiritual development and growth all my life. I would sit down, open the cover, and read. Sometimes it was boring. Sometimes I wondered if it was really necessary. Sometimes I had trouble comprehending the text. But when God opened my eyes up to his word rightly divided, it changed my life. I kept reading and studying. I could understand and comprehend by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. God is faithful, my brothers and sisters. And he continues to speak through me through his word right divine. And I continue to get stronger and bolder and be that workman that needed not to be ashamed. And all glory go to God for that. I encourage you to begin reading the Bible in a deeper way. Personal Bible study is life-changing. That is when you apply it to your life. Paul told us what it would be like in the last days of the body of Christ. The church, he told us. And this is why it's so imperative that we study God's word, God's way. He told us in 2 Timothy 2:2-4, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable. Personal Bible study is spending time with God, my brothers and sisters. What Paul is saying is that what you are going to get instead of sound doctrine is saints won't feel good messages and storytelling. My brothers and sisters, I really hope you take heed to what I just said. And now since we're going to talk, we've been talking about prayer, because a lot of people are praying today. And the problem of unanswered prayer, many are disappointed. Many they have gone through a lot of heartaches and pains because they look at scriptures like passages that say, whatsoever thing you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Matthew 21:22. And again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Many are just taking scriptures, and they are not rightly dividing it. Many walk away from their assemblies or television with high hopes from hearing these promises from the word of God. And when their requests are not granted, they are deeply hurt and angry. My brothers and sisters, like I said, rejoice, my brothers and sisters, in God accepting you in Christ by grace through the cross, my brothers and sisters, then live for him. But many continue to gravitate towards verses such as James 5:14-15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise them up. And if we have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. They do not realize that Paul is God's spokesman to them, us Gentiles. We should not go to James 5:14-15 and try to find God's word to us. Why? Because first, if I tell you understand it right and divide it, James 1:1 says, James was written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. And that's not you and me in the body of Christ. James was writing to and about the nation of Israel. We are the church, the body of Christ, and only the Pauline epistles. Romans 2:5 addressed the church, the body of Christ. The temporary physical healing miracles associated with Christ's earthly ministry, the early Acts period, and Hebrews through Revelation are currently suspended. God is doing something different today. Even the faith healers are forced to recognize this when they themselves grow sick, old, and eventually die like the rest of us. Now, the confusion. Many hang their physical healing beliefs on Isaiah 53:5. Many Christians have grappled with this question. Is physical healing for today a part of the blood atonement of Christ? I've heard people say that Christians should never suffer illness because Jesus has already suffered for us. Many are using Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24 because these verses tell us that the Lord suffered for our sins, not our sicknesses. My brothers and sisters, the problem with many saints in the body of Christ today is that they don't really have right division knowledge of the scriptures to know that the church is not under the new covenants. The covenants were all and will be for Israel. In Romans 9:4, Paul states, who are the Israelites? who are the Israelites, he said, who pertain to the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the services of God and the promises. My brothers and sisters, Peter confirms this in Acts 3:12 when he addressed the men of Israel. As his sermon progresses, he reminds them in verse 25 that ye are the children of the prophets of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham. Now, I hope you go back and listen to this message and look at the verses, my brothers and sisters. It says, because I'm going to send this out on YouTube also, so you can go back and listen. My brothers and sisters, we, on the other hand, are the church in this age of grace, the body of Christ believers. We are the body of Christ. We are not in any covenant. Many saints in the body of Christ get their healing doctrines from snatching and grabbing scripture out of context, because these verses that folks read tells that the Lord suffered. Yeah, he suffered. Yeah, for sins. Yep. And I'm trying to tell you, folks want to say for our physical healing at the cross, but we're going to talk about that. And if you listen to them, they are always focusing on the physical, not the spiritual. Many confused Christians in the body of Christ hold to the doctrine of healing in the atonement, predicated upon Isaiah 53, the basic idea that Jesus Christ purchased physical healing for us at Calvary, the word atonement obviously being Christ's sacrificial death. Is this really what the prophet Isaiah was saying in that famous passage? We will look at God's word and see what it actually says. Indeed, Isaiah 53:5 says on the Messiah's cross work, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is what Isaiah is saying. And this is why when it comes to prayer, many do not know what to pray for and how to pray in the dispensation of grace and how to pray with understanding. But before we just grab a part of the verse we like and make it say something we want it to say, we need to let the Bible interpret it itself. We do not need a commentary or some denominational handbook to explain Isaiah. The Holy Spirit himself will teach us, if you just bear with me. We will be willing to hear him and conclude that he is right. It is supposed that through Jesus' shed blood, we have authority to declare healing and recovery from every disease and illness. If we are Christians, we should not be sick or dying. That's what many are saying. According to these preachers and teachers of healing in the atonement, Calvary's cross is the means whereby Father God has guaranteed us Christians physical healing. That's what many are believing. We just have to claim that deliverance in Jesus' name, what many tell you. We are told not to believe in a diagnosis from medical professionals. That's what many are telling us. While they see cancer in us, they see heart disease in us, or some other verifiable medical condition, we are told to ignore that reality and live in a delusional world. We are urged to declare, I have Jesus, not cancer. I have Jesus, not a knee injury or back pain. I have Jesus, not diabetes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Surely, dear friends, this assumption is extremely dangerous, spiritually and physically. In fact, it is not faith at all. It is unbelief. The Apostle Peter quoted Isaiah 53:5 in 1 Peter 2:24. Look at what he said. We will look at this verse in context. Peter says, for even hereunto where you call, Peter talking to the nation of Israel, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was revived not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And verse 24, who his own right of self buried our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Verse 25, for you were as sheep going astray in this verse, but are now returning to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Through Peter, The Holy Spirit interpreted Isaiah 53:5 for us. The healing is not physical healing. It is a spiritual healing, a healing of the soul, forgiveness of sin, the Spirit giving life. He says he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, this is good. Oh, it's really good. It's indicative of spiritual healing rather than physical healing. By the way, the verse before Isaiah 53:5, verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 53, I hope you go back and study it, is a reference to physical healing under special circumstances. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The Holy Spirit interpreted this verse for us in Matthew 8:16-17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. And he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Isaiah 53:4 predicted the Messiah healing ministry, the miraculous demonstration that validated the gospel of the kingdom. I'm talking about Jesus when in his earthly ministry that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that he and his apostles preached. The sickness that brought Israel sorrow, Jesus came and healed them. Their infirmities that brought them grief, Jesus came and healed them. Please make special note, take careful note of this tonight, that Jesus' earthly ministry of healing, miracles, occurred before the cross. Well, that's significant. That occurred before the cross, before the stripes, you see. My brothers and sisters, not at the cross or through the cross. Let me say this again. This is Christ's earthly ministry, not as part of his suffering. You see that? He had not shed his blood yet. So how can you be healed by his stripes when he hadn't shed his blood? Listen, my brothers and sisters. Christ's earthly ministry healing had nothing to do with their atoning blood. We can't say by his stripes I'm healed, because Christ was healing before he went to the cross for the nation of Israel's sins and for those folks that's grabbing this and trying to use it. Now the question is and should be, what was the purpose of healing and who was it given to and why? Now let's look even closer at the makeup of Isaiah 53:4. There's a very small but important word that gets overlooked in the verse. It is the word yet when you look at it. This word is in many translations of the Bible used here to show a contrast. The second part of Isaiah 53:4 is obviously speaking of Christ suffering. Now, the Jews considered anyone that was killed or sick, smitten of God. Remember the blind man in John 9. Disciples asked Jesus, who had sinned that caused this man to be blind? Paul writes in Galatians 3, curses one who hangs on a tree. So the term smitten of God is a reference to the suffering of Christ. Now, if the first part of Isaiah 53:4 had anything to do with the sufferings of Christ, we would have seen the word and or therefore or so are the words of course or even or because of this. On the contrary, the word yet is inserted to show a contrast between the first and second part of the verse. So let's paraphrase this verse tonight for all those who listening for the purpose of showing this in very understandable terms. Surely our diseases, talking to about the nation of Israel, he himself healed and our sorrows he carried. Yet, in spite of all this, we ourselves esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, Christ did all these wonderful things, but we still considered him cursed. Do you see how the word yet changed the whole appearance of this verse So not only does Matthew 8:16-17 place the fulfillment of Isaiah 53:4 at the beginning of Christ's ministry, the grammar used in Isaiah 54 shows us how first and second parts of the verse contrast with each other. I believe that this shows beyond a doubt that Isaiah 53:4 does not contain words of physical healing as part of the blood atonement. A clear reading of Isaiah 53:1-4 will show that verses 1-4a speaks of Christ's walk on the earth, and then with the word yet in 4b, the emphasis turned towards his suffering, his death, and his glorious kingdom. Whenever reading a portion of Scripture, it is important to always read it in context it was written. What does the verse say? To whom, when, and under what circumstances? Unfortunately, the church has become a group of verse readers and not Scripture studiers. I have noticed this more and more, especially when someone presents a position that might be contrary to what Scripture teaches. Now, like I said, in that verse, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. What are the Israelites? This is whom Isaiah addresses in chapters 52, verse 1 and 2, verse 7 and 12. Who are the Israelites here? Their transgressions, sins, and iniquities, depravities. All those things, not any diseases or sickness. Many also use 1 Peter, like I said. My brothers and sisters, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that ye should follow his death. Who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. I'm reading the verses. Who when he was revived, he revived not of Peter. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self buried our sins in his own body on a tree. Now, my brothers and sisters, that passage is about the cleansing. What I just read, 1 Peter 2:21-24, is about a passage of cleansing of sins and not about any physical healing. Interestingly, when James wrote about physical healing in James 5:13-15, about is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing Psalms 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, then they shall be forgiven. This where much confusion is about prayer comes in. Notice that James did not quote Isaiah 53:5. With his stripes we are healed. Is that not a demonstration that the healing of Isaiah 53 is a different type of healing than that of James 5:13-15? The Apostle James and the Holy Spirit guiding him knew this to be true and thus did not quote the verse. Another fascinating tidbit is that James 5:13-15 is a passage of Scripture commonly appealed to in order to support modern-day healing crusades. Evidently, unlike those who like to quote James, James did not believe there was physical healing in the atonement. Those physical healing verses referenced above were not written to or about us in the dispensation of the grace of God. And I told you that in James 1, who James was writing to. Always remember who is being spoken to, my brothers and sisters. When advising sick Timothy, Paul never told him, claim your healing in the atonement. Timothy, God had promised you deliverance from those sicknesses. He didn't tell him that. You are a Christian. You are not supposed to be healed. He didn't tell him that. Yet on the contrary, Paul instructed Timothy to use a little wine because Timothy was having stomach aches for his stomach problems and his frequent sicknesses. And like I said, for all those who claim in physical healing, open up your medicine cabinets tonight, and I guarantee you, you'll see all kind of medicine for all kind of things you've been diagnosed with. Because if there's physical healing, you don't need that medication. I'm going to tell you that tonight. But that's not God's program, my brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters, the danger danger in claiming physical healing through Calvary's cross is that well-meaning and desperate people often overlook the spiritual healing available through Calvary. It is a focus on the temporary healing of a body that would go to the grave and rot and decay, rather than an emphasis on the salvation of the spiritual body that will last forever. One day, we who have relied exclusively on the Lord Jesus Christ, his perfect sacrifice at Calvary for our sins, will receive glorified bodies fashioned like his body. Philippians 3, 20-21 tell you that. And the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians goes into great detail about the resurrection of Christians at the rapture when Jesus Christ comes to take his body, the church, body of Christ, into heavenly places. And you can read more about that in your own personal Bible study. Go and read Romans 8, 18, 22-24. And I'll give you just a little sample of that. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. My brothers and sisters, Paul, in that verse, is Romans 8, 18 and 22-24. Go and read it. In those above verses, Paul talked about how we suffer under the curse of sin. Even as Christians, our body grows sick and eventually die. Being a child of God does not insulate us from illness, and it does not guarantee us good health. How many funerals have you been to, my brothers and sisters? As long as God continues to operate our program, Israel's program will be postponed. And as long as Israel's program is postponed, the curse of sin being lifted is also delayed. Anyone who says otherwise is not sound in his or her study of God's words rightly divided. So as we close tonight, hence we read Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18. 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our outward bodies are perishing. Look at yourself, decaying and dying. And the Bible view here is we are subject to sickness. We can and do have sickness. And whether well or sick, we still have Jesus. It is not that we ignore our sickness and refuse medical treatment. Whether or not we live with a sickness for the rest of our earthly life is irrelevant. God's grace is still sufficient in all troubles, as Paul learned about his own trials, tribulations, and illnesses. My brothers and sisters, whether or not Paul went through a lot, whether or not that sickness is terminal and takes our life is irrelevant. God has given us the grace to endure all of life's troubles. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. We can use the eyes of faith to see that these problems are only temporary. Thank God that they are not forever. And compared to eternity, they are simple, a blink of the eye, a fraction of a second. Nothing the Lord Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, a fraction of a second and they are nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us in health or in sickness. Innumerable souls continue to disregard medical advice because they do not understand God's word right divided. And then the day comes that their lives are taken by the various diseases that religion say they did not suffer from. They kept quoting God's healing verses to Israel as those verses were given to them in the current dispensation. They found false hope and a false sense of peace in divine words given to others. Not only were they deceived by others, they deceive others with their own actions and rest God's word in the process. There is a spiritual healing available through Jesus Christ's work at Calvary cross. In Christ, there is forgiveness of sin, abounding grace, unparalleled peace, everlasting love, and eternal life in heaven. And all that we need is in Jesus Christ. We have not been promised miraculous bodily healing in this dispensation of grace. God has given us prompt medical professionals, medicine, and immune systems, And if they cannot help us, all the more reason to move on into heaven and get that new body one day, one that will never grow sick or old, but will last forever. We thank God for you tonight, and we thank God for his word. Let us pray, Father, that we thank you for your word. We pray as those who listen in tonight that they got an understanding, and not only that, that they will go back and study your words that they heard tonight and study it rightly divided and compare scripture with scripture. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters.